Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
How is your health like your financial situation? Are you satisfied bumping your ass along month to month, just making ends meet? Or do you have reserves of resources and the choice to help others with your abundance? This week, we're in the studio with Sean Phillips discussing his latest book, Strength for Life. Listen in as Sean tells us how settling for health is actually killing you. Welcome to the show. Today I'm in the studio with Sean Phillips. He's a best-selling author, entrepreneur, expert in the area of performance training and nutrition. He's got over 25 years experience doing this work. He's helped hundreds of thousands of people, including business leaders, professional athletes, celebrities, and his friends, help them feel great, look great, and unleash their full strength. He's the founder of Phillips Performance Nutrition. He created the Full Strength Shake. It's the world's first and only premium nutrition shake, and it's been clinically proven to increase energy while swapping body fat for lean muscle. How do you do this shit? And he's got a new book called Strength for Life. It's available in bookstores everywhere right now. So I'm just psyched to have you on the show, bro.
Yeah, thanks, Trip. It's great to be here. I love that intro. I always like to put people through that whole hoop and go, man. Yeah, I don't know whether I'm trying to come to grips with my greatness or just come find some humility in all this.
Because originally it was like a 5-page thing and you're like, all right, I got to knock this down a little bit.
Let's cut it down, you know? I mean, how do you bring 25 years into space, man?
Well, I'm a big fan of the stuff that you do. I'm a drinker of the shakes. And I also loved your book, Strength for Life. So I'm curious, with so many other books about quote-unquote fitness and all that kind of stuff, like, what motivated you? Why were you going to write this book? What had you write this book?
Well, that's a tough one. It's a good question. I mean, honestly, it's a crowded space and a difficult space to find your way in. But I think this book was one of those things. It's like, for me, it was something I had to do. It wasn't an option. It was like, I have this way of seeing things and an experience and having been through, you know, 25 years and, you know, and bringing a whole kind of consciousness and a different dimension to the practice. I keep assuming somebody else is going to pick up on it. Somebody's going to see it, but it just wasn't out there.
So there's something missing in all these books about, you know, like, I'm just going to get my flatter abs or bigger biceps or something. And you're like, there's something else missing in there, and you're saying it's on a consciousness level. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean it's an inside thing. It's an inside out. And what I'm really trying to bring through is ultimately about, I want the individual, the reader, I want you to find your way. I want you to be the hero in this, not me. This isn't my way or the highway. This is your way. You know, it's like I'm helping you find your strength, and I mean your true strength, not you just go through a rote program that I tell you what to do. There's so much of this fitness tends to be this master and commander role, you know, like mm-hmm. I'll be the icon, you follow my way, you know, and I'm taking that. I'll give you structure, I'll give you guidance, but I really want to set you free. To me, it's all about freedom.
Okay, so freedom through getting into the body, getting is that kind of where what you're talking about?
Well, I'm
is
talking
the body. Is the body the doorway into that strength and that freedom?
I think the body is a doorway into life for people. I think really getting in touch with your body and learning to integrate it. I mean, you know, we have this in society. It seems like we come from this place where it's head or body. You know, my body. You know, we only react to our body when it acts up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we react. We
my
don't.
My body's that thing
it.
That my body's that thing that connects me to my dick, right?
Is that... Yeah, it does have a purpose. You know, it's between my brain and my dick.
There's this notion, though. I mean, is there still this ideal? It seems like there's this kind of distorted ideal. I mean, you're in amazing shape. You're amazingly fit. But what I also kind of hear you saying is that there's a version for me of what that looks like for me.
Yeah. Well, and I think, what if it was what it felt like for you? You know, and I think it's a dangerous territory. I mean, you know, I appreciate the motivation that comes from whether it was my images or posters that people have found or before and after pictures like Build It With Body for Life. I think those can serve as motivations. But ultimately, it's a dangerous road to walk to want to be someone else, to look like someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think your best you can aspire to certain things, but really we aspire to be our best selves. And I think maybe what we're looking at here is how do we feel freaking great. I mean, mm-hmm. if you just had the confidence, the power, and the ability to feel great on the inside out, you would look great to go with that. And we all have our own great. I mean, and I'm going to run for a second with the, you know, for 25 years, I've been a fitness model, focused on the abs, some of the best abs in the world.
Right.
And I walk around for years feeling like I need to apologize to people.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it's an interesting dimension because I'm not asking you to be me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you to be you.
Right. Right. And it seems like there's this kind of, I like what you said about feeling great, all those kinds of things. Like some people make the assumption that, well, if I have abs like Sean, or if I have the physique that we're talking about, then I will be happy. And what you're saying is find out what it is for you to be happy. And then actually the body, you know, it becomes an expression of that happiness.
Yeah. Body takes care of itself in some ways. And it's in a lot of ways, I think our physical condition is representative of our balance and alignment. And I don't mean like balance, like I do everything well. I mean, balance like an integrated whole, like I'm really present in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many of our addictions or avoidances manifest in a physical representation of who we are and how we show up.
Mm-hmm.
And the same can be true for the overbuilt body.
Okay.
You know, as a protection mechanism or something else, but the disjointed, disowned body, you know, so our pathologies arise in our physical condition and ultimately end up killing us.
Okay, so in Strength for Life, basically we're getting an overview of how to live a more whole, more balanced life, and the benefits of that is that our bodies look and we feel a lot better.
Yeah. Well,
physically, and we look better too in our own eyes.
And I mean, it's I say it early in the book, and that strength is as much physical as it is mental, emotional, spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a feeling. I mean, what if you could feel? How many people can really feel their own strength? And I mean, not just feel it, but own it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel that? And I don't mean, you know, in a negative, reactive, aggressive way. I mean, I knew when I made this book that it was about strength. And I believe strength is the new paradigm of health. I'm really in that.
Say more about that, because your distinction between health and strength hit me like a ton of bricks. There was, it just like, I was like, oh my God, there it is.
Yeah. Well,
say more about that.
I mean, first of all, I want to say strength, whenever you're talking fitness, strength tends to arise as this physical macho characteristic or manifestation. And, what I recognize...
How much can I bench?
Yeah,
I can lift the car.
Yeah, yeah. I used to always have this one where people would see me, you know, when I was a bodybuilder or something, they'd see me stand in line at the grocery store and be like, wow, how much do you bench? Because that's always their first question.
How much you bench? Hey, what are you doing? Huh?
Yeah, and I always look them just straight face and I'd say, about twice a week. And they'd have no idea what to do with that because they were pretty intimidated anyway. So they you could see it would take them like an hour for it to hit them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see the question. I got the loophole. But
got it.
So I digress. So to me, this is where the whole book leads. It stands on this platform of, I believe health is a dangerous mindset that's undermining the very well-being and fabric of our nation, because health is truly, by most people, defined as, and I mean consciously or unconsciously, as the absence of illness. Because if you look for a detailed definition, I mean, look at Webster's Dictionary, and you look at how people behave, I mean, what they're really waiting for is for the doctor to tell them they've lost their health before they pursue anything. So it's all precious, but when I have it, I have it.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal-setting mechanism of the human condition is such that when I have achieved my goal, if my goal is health and my definition is lack of illness or absence of illness, when I've achieved it, I am no longer pursuing anything. I may take a shot of wheatgrass, you know, waddle over to yoga class now and then, but I'm not striving for anything extraordinary or anything more. So I'm saying really health is a high wire walking act with illness. It's a scarcity mentality. I'm worried about not having it, but I'm satisfied with having it. And then I define strength as really an abundance of health, energy, and vitality. And ultimately, strength is the capacity to make impact in the life or contribution. Because you don't make a difference in someone else's life. You don't add to the world until you have a surplus.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how you make, and that's how ultimately how you get more.
Mm-hmm.
You get more strength by giving your strength away, by sharing with others. But I think we've got to... I think that the way out of our healthcare crisis, out of our obesity epidemic, out of the issues that are facing us today, and as we're headed towards $1 trillion in the year 2011 will be spent by the government in reactive medicine and obesity related disease and conditions.
Oh my God!
And we're worried about oil. I mean,
right.
Let's get all the oil crisis and the issues with the price of gas has done is take our attention off our wellness,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to health our way out of a health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So I say we've got to set the bar higher, and it ultimately comes down to the leaders and those who are going to take the leap, who says, you know, I want more out of my life than just enough. And you know, so strength is about abundance. It's about living your life at a higher level of energy, consciousness, awareness, presence, strength.
I love it. It makes me think of that. I love the financial example. Like if I'm just bumping along month to month, dragging my ass along the ground, I'm in no position to what happens when, you know, I need to put new tires on my car.
Or I've got no reserve.
I've got no reserve. I'm down the tubes then. And I'm in no position to offer any help or to contribute to charity or to actually make a difference in other people's lives because I'm just so... Just getting by,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah. It's the getting by mentality. And
mm-hmm.
I'm running, I call it living paycheck to paycheck on health.
Mm.
I mean, that's how you do it. And I think that, you know, to that point, one of the greatest analogies or comparisons I make is that if you take any room of people and you ask them, what would make your life wonderful? What would give you the freedom you always wanted? They'll say money. They'll jump up and down and go, money, baby, money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, okay, look, you want money? Reach into your pocket and tell me what you got. You pull out, I got $2.55.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That's money.
Mm-hmm.
Careful what you ask for. What you really meant to ask for was wealth, which is an abundance of money. So you want health. I think what you really want is an abundance of health.
Mm-hmm.
You want more than enough. You don't want enough just to get by. You want enough to have some breathing room.
Right.
You know, and I think breathing room comes down to the literal functional pieces, which are, you know, if you're in shape, if you've got physical strength, if you've got a capacity, you can afford to eat some of the foods you want to eat. You're not running on this minimalist diet all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have a wider bandwidth for freedom.
Mm-hmm. And so the whole idea behind Strength for Life, it's really a psychological approach, and it's not just to the body. I mean, the body's the doorway here,
yeah.
But it really is like I'm going to apply this to all areas of my life.
Yeah,
what really motivates me? Say more about that.
Well, and I think it's truly taking that inside-out approach, which is, and using the body as the vehicle for training and conditioning self to say, you know, how I do anything is how I do everything. And, you know, I'll give you a simple example of, you know, and this is one in the center of the strength training practice I do, and I really call you in the strength practice to bring your mind intentionally, bring a focused mind and bring your high energy and use the dumbbells, you know, or use your weights or to train your body. So many people when they approach, you know, and I'll take the dumbbell as an example because it's a great example. They approach a dumbbell, they pick it up, causes their body to react with some energy. They bring some sort of a misfocused mind to it and they get through the workout. They basically react to the weight, to the dumbbell. I call you to be at cause when you train, which is have a focused mind, bring your full intensity, and you use the weight as a tool to get to where you want to go.
So if I'm going to bother being in the gym, or I'm going to be bothered, if I'm going to bother doing any of this, if I'm checked out, if I'm watching the television, or I'm watching, you know, the little lady walk by in her outfit or whatever, and I'm not focusing on there, I'm really wasting my time.
You're wasting time.
Like
going through motions, man, wasting time. And it's a pet peeve of me. I'm passionate about it, but it is absolutely true. Your training is only as effective as you are present to it, involved and engaged. And that's it. And so back to my analogy of the dumbbell piece, but how you approach that dumbbell is kind of, like I said, how you do that, how you do anything is how you do everything. Mm-hmm. So most people in their life are approaching their day-to-day work day, their relationships and their life like they approach the dumbbell. They're waiting for it to rise up, then they react.
They're just gliding through it, and they're reacting.
Reacting.
Not bringing, what's the other side of that? Proaction? What do you call
bringing, I call it the focus and intensity, which is really bringing your focus energy. Mm-hmm. You know, so you bring energy, but what gives you focus is purpose, intent, goal, vision. So it's not just a goal, but having a life vision, having purpose. You move towards something with purpose. Without purpose, you glide along and you wait for the next thing to rise up, then you react, rise up and react.
Man, I'm thinking of so many guys out there, and this is where I coach men. Or they suddenly realize, like, wait a second, I'm tired of. They actually have this conscious, you know, like an epiphany of like, I'm just kind of gliding through my life, and I'm gonna die at some point, and what the hell have I got to show for it? What am I actually doing here on this planet? But there's so many men out there that they have this opportunity to then apply what you're talking about here into all areas of their life. What would have them, I think the word here is like, what would motivate them? How do you get the guys to turn that light on? How do you get them to do that?
Well, I think that the whole first entry to my book, really, I mean, first of all, I lead off with I think a moment anybody can relate to, which is, you know, I start with an emotional pull, which is really an experience I had of, you know, putting my father down a few years ago when he died. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's the whole experience. And I relate it from the inside experience. When people read that, they get the sense, A, this is not some ordinary fitness book. And B, this is really what I'm talking about when I talk about strength, is how you feel the ground when the world's completely upside down. Mm-hmm. How do you feel that? And that's a moment that your life is going to come and it's going to rise up and it's going to hit you now and then. And are you going to show up in those times? And if you show up in those times, how can you show up? But, you know, taking that forward, the whole first section of my book is dedicated to setting a newer, higher vision, which you can step into, which is it's tossing out this idea of good enough. And I think when I say health, I say it's a good enough mentality. And I think America has a disease of mediocrity. I think we've got good enough across the board. It's just this big, giant good enough thing. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good enough. Well, mm-hmm. that's good enough. I'm done with good enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready for great. I think, you know, this is like a good to great for the body. And, you know, you read good to great, you know, Jim Collins' masterpiece. If you're in any kind of a businessman, you go, well, geez Louise, I could, I just will shoot for greatness. I mean, if I'm going to go through the motions of doing this life or doing a business, I just will go for the greatness, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm saying here. It's like, Well, hell! If I'm going to do this trip called life, why don't we shoot for strength, you know? And that, so I set it up from an emotional, integral, and a whole inside out view. And I think that's the beginning. Now, motivation is another topic which I talk about in the book. But I think getting people inspired to say, you know, life can be fucking great.
Yeah, I think that it's that key, that inspiration of if I'm not in touch, you know, if going to the gym for me means, well, so I, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of
obligatory. I have to do it.
I got to do it, right? Versus I've got a greater overall vision for my life. I've got a greater overall kind of trajectory that I want to do something in life. It's inspired. Yeah. I'm living an inspired life. Then going to the gym is just an expression of that. Eating better and feeding my body in a certain way is an expression of that. The actions and decisions I make during my day, they're all an expression yeah. of that thing. And yeah. it's not dissociated or separate from yeah. one another. They're all expressions of that
inspiration.
Well,
that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to say, is that living the inspired life. And ultimately, it's funny, I think one of my original subtitles was living the inspired life. I mean, mm-hmm. it really was. Of course, it doesn't go anywhere with the publishing guard.
Wow, that's kind of weird, yeah.
Yeah, they have a certain certain paradigm they're seeing the world through.
Good enough.
Yeah, and we'll leave it at that. But what arose for me as you were talking about that, which is, and this is something I said, the greatest gift anybody could give me in return, or the greatest thing I could ever hear anyone say they got from this book, and this is ultimately the big secret inside, is that they stopped doing fitness and started being fit. It's a way of being, not something you do.
Say more about that. Yeah, it's just kind of...
Well, everybody, you know, and I think it comes from this, you were talking about the should. It's like, I should do this, or it's obligatory, I'm mailing it in, you know. And mm-hmm. and we can all go, for a period of time, we can all discipline ourselves to do a certain number of sets, reps, or run a certain distance, or something like that. But ultimately, the freedom of living an inspired life, or living a life you want to live, comes in when you break over this point of stop going through the rote motions and start finding your inspiration and reasons and meanings. And all of a sudden, fitness and wellness and strength and a way of being becomes a way of being. I mean, no one comes up to me anymore and says, Sean, are you still eating well?
Mm-hmm.
No, are you still training? I mean, invariably, I always ask somebody, are you still on that diet?
Right.
But I mean, it's so what who I am. Mm-hmm. It's like no one comes up to you and go, you still being Trip?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's, it's just a given. And so, you know, and I know a lot of people that have been through a transformation or been through a fitness and gotten involved in something. And maybe they've gone off to cycling or now they're doing something else, but it is now integral. It's who they are. Mm-hmm. And that's the freedom, man. That's the expression. It's the expression of joy in doing it, not in obligation, because we're not going to stay with something that's just a drag along.
The should, yeah. I mean, and your book and your what you're saying that I get is like, this is a challenge. This is a call to wipe away the shoulds and mm-hmm. come from the place that really wants to come. That is, this is who you want to be.
Yeah,
deep down, when you really get out of there, there's that deep desire to be who you really are, which is going to look different from Sean. It's going to look different from Trip. It's going to look different from Tom and Joe. It's your own flavor of that, and it's about discovering that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, you're putting it in better words than I am, and I like it. You know, I mean, you've read the book, and you get that I'm calling forth a true strength, because we all have this true strength inside us that we haven't, you know. It's like, you know, if we all could deal with and really face our potential greatness, you know, I mean, it's an awesome responsibility, an awesome opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can call that forth in people, even flashes of it, and then, you know, what you were talking about, the should and the want, it's like I take a chapter, and I could dedicate a whole book to it, but I take a chapter and really break down this whole motivation myth, you know, and get through this. You know, I'm great if you use a should to get you going, but shoulds and negative reinforcement only have a short lifespan. There's just a little bit. I'm like, discipline will get you about a week and a half.
That sounds like, sounds about right.
It's about right. It's got a 10-day, if you're really, really disciplined and have huge willpower, you get 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to do it, Jack. You know, this ain't going to do it. And it's like, you know, it's a little bit like, a lot of people use the before and after pictures, and they like, you know, take this picture themselves and the, you know, they use the whole, man, I hate the way I look in that, to get themselves moving. And I call it hating yourself forward. it's like, you know, it's enough to get you moving. I mean, I say the example of, you know, if someone comes in, you know, you're in a bank and someone puts a gun to your head and says, give me all the money. You are highly motivated to give them the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm giving you the money, you know. If they put the gun down, I got zero motivation to give him the money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's lasting motivation.
Right.
It's not sustainable.
Right.
So the gun to the head diet, you know, hate myself, you know, it's a really short-lived motivation. So I show you how to say, okay, whatever gets you moving, embrace it. But how do you get rid of the shoulds, get rid of the have-tos, and start creating the want-tos?
And that's where you're saying, that's where you get in touch with what's really inside. You said that earlier on. Yeah. This is about what's inside.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, what's arising for you, and what you call strength, what you call your life vision, and how you want to live your life, and is this something that at first you're going to do because you want to be a father and a husband, you know, better, longer,
mm-hmm.
fuller, you know, but you want to be a better businessman, you want to be better, you know, you want to experience more life, you want to do more. I mean, there's all these reasons. You can make the list, and I go through, I have a great practice in there, which is just the brainstorming practice. Get it all down. Take 5 minutes. Dump it.
Right.
And then go back and start looking at what came out that I didn't even know I was thinking about.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Exactly. Yeah, we could do it under I could go to the gym under the context of I should do this because of whatever, XYZ. But if I get in touch with what I really want to be in this lifetime, and that could be, I just want to be the best dad I can be, I want to be the best businessman, I want to be the best person I can be, what are the ways that are going to be in service of that? Well, part of that is me having the vessel, my body, to do that. That would have me go to the gym. It's not a should. It's just it's that motivation. Now I'm like, good, this is in support of that greater purpose in my life.
Well, and you're really, you're rehearsing. You're, you know, when you're in the gym, you've got this opportunity to really play with the fire of intensity. And I think that, you know, along with my dialogue about good enough, I have this kind of a theme around, I think that we've become such a green tree-hugging society or culture, which has such a, you know, wonderfully feminine energy to it, that we have a difficult time with the masculine energy, with anything that looks intense.
Mm.
And hence the, you know, strength training. Women, you know, if you can get them past their psychological resistance to it, they're like, man, I love this feeling. Mm-hmm. But when you're in the gym, you've got this environment where you get to really deal with your own intensity. Mm-hmm. Can I be one and whole with my intensity, or do I want to shut down to it?
Right. Right. Yeah, we definitely that's a running theme in the work we do with the Authentic Man program and the coaching that I do is if you're checked out of your body and you have this habitual reaction to avoid intensity at all, well, guess what? You're not going to step into relationship. Relationship's intense.
Yeah.
You're not going to step into challenges with your career because that's going to be intense. So what I hear you saying is like strength training can be one of those places where I get to train myself to actually be with greater levels of intensity.
Yeah.
I get to tone, you know, actually create greater capacity for me to be with something more intense.
Yeah, and it's working, you know, once again, working with the fire of intensity, which is you have intentionally sought to pursue a higher level. You know, you brought your intensity. You get to feel that energy. I teach you with the focus intensity practice, which is kind of I call it the mindfulness of yoga with the power of martial arts meets strength training.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
You know? And you bring that fire there with this full presence. You feel the ground. You feel the charge through your body. You breathe it into your body. You go through this whole intense peaking thing, which, you know, it really has you visualizing your muscles. And then, boom, you relax. And then now really you're bringing that feminine receptivity into the energy. So you're cycling through masculine peak intensities and receptive energies. And you really can, I think you can create a greater flexibility emotionally for yourself to go through this phase up and down. It's kind of this, you know, all life is this cycle and rhythm. We all have this rhythm.
It's the yin yang, right?
It is the yin yang. And I draw that when I do the presentations of it. Another thing when you talk about this intensity is, and I use this example when I'm in presentations, which is, you know, my son, which you probably know, Nathaniel has food allergies, and we've had a couple, you know, serious bouts with anaphylactic shock where, you know, he's close to dying. Mm. And there's nothing to bring forward, you know, that fear and intensity in reaction like, you know, seeing, you know, your infant son nearly dying. Mm. Through my training and practice and really working with the fire, I'm able to come with this high energy, you know, and still keep my head and my wits about me.
Stay present,
you know, really present and clear to it. You know, and not to toot my own horn, but I saved his life when he was about 9 months old, 10 months old, with actions that only came from my ability to stay present. If I'd lost my head, if I'd panicked, if I'd freaked out, he wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you hadn't been able to hold that intensity in the moment, still be there, not check out, still really be there, and then rise above it and be like, okay, what action do I need to take now? What needs to happen so I can save this little guy's life?
Yeah,
my son's life.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah, and I mean that's an extreme example, but it is what it is to know that energy, because that kind of energy, if you don't court it, if you don't feel it, if you don't create it and be the author of it, and you don't get that relationship with it, it'll rise up in your life and just hijack you. You shut down.
Tune in next week as we continue our discussion with Sean Phillips and learn more about the importance of recovery in all areas of your life.